delighted to have you in the podcast where all stories are welcome and the masks come off. Hi, Ravin.
Hi.
Thank you so much for accepting my invitation to come and have a chat with me on Coffee and Soul. And I really appreciate your taking the time to do this.
Yeah, I'm fine, thank you.
Great. Ravin, so you've got yourself something warm to drink?
Yes.
All right. I know you're not a coffee drinker. And I was thinking, oh my God, this is Coffee and Soul. And how does that work? And then I said, no, because this is also about diversity and different perspectives, different ways of being, and different fondness for different beverages. So you raise your cup of tea to me and I'll raise my cup of coffee to you. And we cheers. There we are. Okay. Cheers, Ravin.
Cheers.
Lovely. Always the first sip. So, Ravin, as you sit here with this cup of tea in your hand, warm beverage, does it evoke anything in you? Any thoughts? The warmth of the cup of tea in your hands.
No, nothing special. It makes me feel slightly more comfortable in the morning.
All right. And when you feel comfortable, what does it do for you?
Nothing really, except I can maybe talk a bit more freely and maybe slightly more confidence. But if I didn't have it, it wouldn't make much difference. It wouldn't make any difference either. I mean, it is not that I have to have it.
Sure. I totally understand. Yeah. All right. So the purpose of this conversation, as I told you, is just to be able to reflect back and share with me and hopefully the people who will be listening to this, some of the ways in which you have lived your life. So if I was to ask you, if you were to reflect on your life, what would you say is the adage that you have lived by?
Adage meaning?
What is your metaphor for life? What is it that when the chips are down, what brings you back up?
No, there's nothing special. It just kind of happens. But there's nothing special. There's nothing I do or anything specific I think of to make things mentally more comfortable. But I'm fine otherwise.
Yeah. And when some of the high points in your life, can you talk to me a little bit about that?
See, high points in my life would be, I'll go very quickly through my life, which is a bit slightly different from many people's life.
I'd love to hear about it.
Yeah, my parents, my father was joined the Indian Foreign Service, that is a diplomatic service, and I was only about maybe 3 years old at that time.
Mm.
At the age of about close to four, I was taken abroad. I was taken abroad by ship along with my parents. The ship landed at Antwerp, but my father was posted to Belgium in Brussels.
Mm.
So we went there. So that was that. The trip itself is nearly 17, 18 days.
Wow.
Mm. And that is Antwerp. But if you go elsewhere, like to Plymouth for these places, it's longer.
Right. But
at that time, there were very hardly any aircraft, and they were only meant for really, left over from the Second World War. Basically, not meant for passengers.
Sure.
Unless extremely important people at that time.
Yes.
So that was my first impression, leaving India, seeing myself standing next to India Gate in Bombay, with a small camera, which I don't know where I got from. All must have given it to me. But I didn't always take any photographs.
Right.
I started like that. So we went on this ship, which was close to 20 days. And there we made lots of friends. I mean, my sister also came with, not my sister. My sister was not born there yet.
Okay.
In Belgium, she was born.
Right.
Because I was thinking of some other trips. Because after that, we made separate trips by sea.
So do you like that? I'm coming in here. Do you like the sea, Ravan?
Sea?
Yeah.
But not particularly. There would make a real difference to me.
Yeah. So, okay. Go ahead. I'm listening.
Where was I? So we went... So the three of us, my parents, me, went on a ship, which was quite, for my parents also, well, for my mother, it was the first time traveling on a 7-year ship.
Right.
My father had been before because he was a Boy Scout, and after that, a Scout Master.
Right.
In his very early age, before he started working.
Right.
He had been on a trip to Paris.
Right. Wow. Yeah.
A year before that, for the Paris Jamboree.
Right, okay.
From all over the world. It was the first time after the Second World War.
Right.
So that was, it was an extremely exciting thing. That was the first, I would say, memory which I would have.
When you say it was exciting, what was exciting about it?
Exciting was to be on the ship itself. Something that is moving. And sometimes if the sea was rough, it wasn't, but not that much because the ships were quite big. But still you could feel it all the time that you were going on something which was actually moving. And so that was fine. Fortunately, I was not the type who used to get seasick.
Okay.
Lots of people did.
Right.
So I was fine. I enjoyed the ride a lot.
Okay, great. All right, go ahead. Yes.
So then we reached, after several weeks, we reached Antwerp, we went to Belgium, my father was interested, and it was quite, it was a city which I'd never seen before. But then I've not seen much of India either. So to me, it did not make that much difference.
Right.
We started living there. My father was working there. And my mother was at home. And after a year or so, my sister, of course, younger to me, was born. So there are many things which happened at that time when she was born, because particularly getting the milk and all, we had no servants at that time.
Sure.
I mean, you must imagine this is only two or three years after the war, after the Second War.
Yeah, tough times those days, yes.
Very different from what they are now.
Yes, yes.
And so, you know, even to get milk was difficult.
Wow.
I mean, bottles. It wasn't delivered to your house. You had to go somewhere and get it. So these are small things, but.
Sure.
I mean, I remember them quite vividly.
Yeah. I'm sure. My God. Because it's such a unique and different experience, no?
My parents had a few friends there. They were quite a few of them, which is not the situation now in the foreign service at that time.
Right.
Quite a few of them were Anglo-Indians.
Right.
The British preferred Anglo-Indians to Indians at that time.
Mm.
I don't know why, largely probably because of their English was much better.
Sure.
And more understandable to the British.
Right.
That was fine. So I remember things like getting sick once. So then there used to be a lady who was actually a trained nurse, but she was married to one of the officers in the
field. Okay.
And then when you're a girl, and she used to come every day to give me an injection.
Okay.
Which I was I was extremely frightened of.
Right? How old were you then, Robert?
I would have been around three and a half.
That's very young, and you have the memory. So your memories go back to that young. That's amazing. A lot of people don't have these memories. That's amazing.
Well, other things I've forgotten, lots of most things I forget, but because these things stick in your mind.
Right,
And a few friends, my parents said, I remember them. I remember them by, I've forgotten their names, or some I do remember, but by face I do kind of recollect. Yes, this was the person in Brussels at that time.
So this was in Brussels.
This was in Brussels.
Okay.
We stayed in Brussels for about 2 years or so. I was slightly less than that. And then my father got posted directly to Cairo in Egypt.
Okay.
So when I was in Brussels, mind you, I could not speak any Hindi. Yeah. I could not speak any English. I started learning French because I went to French school.
Okay.
So I, the only language I knew and which I spoke to my parents in was French. And at that age, you pick up a language very quickly. You figure out
how to speak. Yes.
But I could speak fluent French. My parents also found it easy to speak to me in French. I was also speaking
French. Yes.
That was fine. And the first school was also a completely French school. The name of the school was Priya Purnu, which means pray for us. It was actually a convent.
Okay.
A French convent. So half the students were boys, who were less than half, yes, and the others were girls. Okay. We all had to wear identical clothes.
So really? Yeah, okay. All right.
The face and the hair that you know is a boy or a girl.
Oh, I see. So how, that is so interesting.
It's not important, I know, but and then my...
No. This is very important. I'd love to hear. Well, tell me about it.
And my mother used to come every day to drop me, and she used to sit at the back of the class along with some other mothers, maybe some, I don't know how many, but I think there was a line of mothers sitting there who would bring their school children to school and take them home again as required. So I remember that quite vividly.
And you're saying that basically... what I find very interesting is the clothes that you were wearing would not be, you would not be able to make out if the person was a boy or a girl.
Yeah, but if you saw their face normally.
You could make out, but what were you covered till here? Or how was it? That's so.
It was, you wore your normal clothes, on top of that you wore a smock, which buttoned up from the back.
Okay, all right.
You wore that and stood, to attention on straight.
Right.
It was not easy to tell.
Okay, that's so interesting.
Naturally, that I being an Indian, there were hardly any Indians. I mean, there were no Indians as far as I knew. I never saw a single Indian there, except my parents' friends.
Right.
So it was like that. And so the rest were all European.
Yes.
All Belgian nationals.
Right.
Or just ended. So things were difficult, but I don't remember, but... There was rationing for everything. For milk or anything you wanted to. Most things were rationed, but slowly. But I didn't stay in that school for very long. It was about only maybe 6 months. And then I was shifted, because I think my parents were shifted to a different flat. So you normally went to the school which was closest to where you stayed.
Okay.
I was put in a different school, which was a much more, it was not like this, it was not like a convent. It was like kind of a normal school, but slightly like for a nursery school. And the name of the school was Ecole Nouvelle, which means new school.
New school, yes.
Yeah, they knew, may have not been, but it was, that was quite very different from the previous school, which where I don't remember much, but Ecole Nouvelle, I remember very well. Particularly, I remember I took part in a play with some other children, maybe of my class, older, younger, not younger, but still older. And we all had to dress up as chickens.
Right, okay.
And the youngest, but then there were others who were not as well. slightly older one who had dressed up as the male chickens or roosters.
Yeah, right, right.
I remember those things and taking part, and we had a play in which we all acted, all our parents. My parents certainly came, and I think most parents of the children came. So that was what I remember about this. There, after maybe 1.5 years in that school, my father got posted to Cairo.
Okay. Cairo, so at a very young age, you traveled around the world.
I traveled a lot. We were posted to Cairo.
Where, so after Cairo, what happened after Cairo? Where did you go after Cairo in terms of the countries?
Cairo, my parents had a posting in Delhi. I mean, home posting, as they call
it. Right, right, a home posting.
So that's one, 1.5, 2 years. Not even 2 years, less than 2 years. Sure.
Right, 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 so right.
It was quite, it was not very accepted, and I don't remember much about it.
Okay.
I've forgotten even the name of the school where I went to Delhi. I think it was Delhi Public School, but I'm not sure.
Right. Right.
Being that major. But that was fine. That's good. It was okay, but I was not very happy in the posting of Delhi.
Right, right.
And maybe I was not very happy with it. I didn't understand why. I remember you come from abroad as a young child, well, by that time, I was 5 years old, who can hardly. Was learned a bit of English, but cannot speak it very well.
Yes, yes.
Of course, French was a language that everyone else would speak French.
Right, right, right.
So it was nice. Then after there, we got posted to London.
Okay.
And that was a long posting. Mm-hmm. Interesting and nice. I remember we were in London at the time of the Queen's coronation.
Oh, really? What do you remember about that?
I remember it in the sense that we didn't see it live.
Right. But
in most hotels, they had TV sets, but only one TV set in each hotel in a kind of a small hall in the hotel. So we had. So we all, every evening, everyone would sit there. Everyone meets, everyone was staying in the hotel.
Right, right.
Afternoon, standing behind. We sit there, and I remember seeing that entire ceremony of the coronation.
Wow, wow, that's amazing. Imagine, wow. That, and you were there, and you saw it. Although you saw it on TVs or whatever, but you were there in the presence of that atmosphere. That's amazing. Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know whether we saw the Queen going live in a coach after that or not, but I don't remember.
Sure. So, Ravin, one of the things that you, and I'm sure there are many such incidents that you remember, one of the things that you say that it doesn't make a difference, I'm hearing a lot of that from you. What makes a difference to you?
No, nothing specific. Nothing which I can think of and tell you that.
Yeah. Yeah.
All I wanted to do was to play around, be happy.
Yeah.
I was a student, but not a fantastically brilliant student.
Right.
But I could manage along with the rest.
Sure.
I was okay that way.
Yeah. And if I was to ask you, given that, you know, there's so much of living that you've done in so many parts of the world, and I also know that you started working and you also had many postings out of the country on your work life as well.
Yes.
So each one of us brings something very unique in the way that we look at the world, what we learn from it and what we say back to it. What is it that, you know, is your perspective on things, on life?
Nothing very specific, but every place we went to, and remember, I've lived in at least 15, 20 countries. I mean, actually lived
in. Amazing, amazing.
I mean, right to the end, I'm saying in my whole life up to now.
Right.
That was really interesting.
Right.
And then languages, I mean, apart from English, French, and those kind of languages, German and all. And another language that I spoke was Serbo-Croatian.
So once, may I come in here? You speak English, French, German, and Croatian.
English and Hindi. But at that time, at one time, I could be fluent in all these languages.
That's amazing. That's amazing. What did it do for you in terms of your perspective on the world? What were you seeing? Because you were at a very young age seeing everything from a very different vantage point.
Young age, but I remember I was growing up also at that
time. Yes, yes,
yes. The age of 3-4, which I described before. Right. I became normal until I went to college.
Right, right, right.
17, 18.
Right, right.
I don't have an answer to your question, which was anything very specific. But for example, odd things far away, like I remember acting in that play in Brussels.
Right.
At the age of 3, 3.5.
Right, right.
I had to do. I remember I did not have the clothes which all the other kids had.
Right.
Like a pantsuit, like a small pantsuit, right? We found it, but it did not fit. So I wore something else, a pair of shorts.
Right.
It was okay, but when I see the pictures of that, I could see I'm slightly differently dressed from the other.
So when you think, sorry.
No one else will notice that.
Right, I know. So when you think about those times, what comes to your mind when you think, are they happy thoughts? Is that something that you would wish for everybody to experience? What are some of the things that you?
I would say that firstly, the thoughts were extremely happy.
Extremely happy.
I would really, and extremely happy and very, very educational and giving you a different kind of experience, a different way. Different way people live, how they live, how they communicate with others, what they do and as you're growing up, you're going from country to country.
Yeah, amazing.
So there even you see, you learn different languages. Many of the languages you learn only for a short time and you forget them very soon after.
Hmm.
I could speak Serbo-Croatian quite fluently.
Right.
I went to Croatian school also.
Right.
But now if you ask me, I don't know, but if someone is speaking Serbo Croatian, they call it.
Yeah.
I would have a vague understanding of what they're talking about.
Yeah. Yeah.
Those kind of things. Well,
I think that's fabulous. And after that, when you you came back and you, after all this experience, was it ever difficult to adjust to people who hadn't had these experiences?
I didn't have that experience. No.
You could fit into, you found yourself fitting into any place without a problem.
Because Hindi you learned quite quickly when you came back to India.
Right.
No, I had no problem in adjusting myself socially with anyone.
Yeah. That's, yes, go ahead.
Language difficulty.
Yeah.
Not difficulty, but different range of languages. Sometimes I have to find it difficult. Difficult means it's confusing.
Yeah.
You know so many languages, you don't know which word from which language to use for to say what.
Absolutely.
Kind of thing. But it was not serious at all.
Sure. So what kind of a place and where do you find that you yourself find it easy to communicate and you like to speak in or communicate with people? What kind of an environment do you need to be able to open up and, you know, talk?
The answer to the question actually comes with the background that I was at different ages at different times of my life.
Right.
So age also counts a lot at that time.
Right.
The place where I could speak at mostly was in Yugoslavia.
Right.
Currently Serbia.
Right, right.
I went at an age where I finished school and I was attending college. I started going to college just at that time. You remember what the
year?
So that was quite whether it's, I mean, I could myself, it's not a question of language, to my own understanding of everything going on around you, which was languages I could speak. I forgot them whenever after I left the country. I learned new languages, which were, now I don't know any language except what I'm speaking now and maybe some Hindi. But I can understand most people if they speak any of the languages. Like French, I know sufficiently. Serbo-Croatian, I know sufficiently. I've forgotten the other languages, but many of the languages.
So languages has been a big part of who you have been, right? Speaking those different...
Not because I wanted to or anything. It just so happened I was living there. That was a language I had to communicate with anyone. Domestic staff, if we were, we had domestic staff at home, in school, going in a bus, and meeting, you know, asking the directions to go to somewhere. Those kind of did not bother me in any manner. Neither did it make me stick my chest out and say I was also no language.
Of course.
It just so happened that was the way I was brought up.
Yes, sure. No, and I understand that. And so I know that I'm very conscious of your time. I had blocked you for half an hour. So I'm just going to say, if you can, you know, just leave us with some thought, something that makes Ravin. What is that thing? What is it that makes a difference to you? What do you think it would be?
I don't think I have a major answer to that question.
All right.
I can't think of anything which makes me feel and how I would differentiate myself from other people around me.
Yeah.
It's the same. I'm not a good sportsman. I would like to be like everyone else at that age, would certainly love to be. I tried my best, but I couldn't. So it's okay. It's not a big deal. I was not a brilliant student, but I managed to get through all my exams and finish off university, etc.
I think what is brilliant and what I'm hearing is when you're talking about the fact that, you know, I was not a sportsman, not brilliant in studies, but what is amazing, Ravin, is your ability to be able to blend into and be a part of any kind of an environment because of the experiences. And I think that is what makes you uniquely you, is what you bring from that perspective. Because it's not really about, and I'm not asking about the achievements. I'm really asking about, you know, what is the essence of Ravin? And I see that. And
I never think about these things.
Yes, I know. I understand that, which is beautiful.
I'm not forgotten it, but it doesn't matter to me at all what happened to that much in Nepal. There's so many experiences well after school, well after college, when I started working. I was working in also, my work was also in outside India quite a lot.
Yes.
I've lived in 4 countries in Africa. I've lived in South Africa also.
Yes.
I've seen the end of apartheid, just this.
Amazing. It was
ending, but it was still. It was still very evident that there was apartheid in this country.
Yes.
But
yes.
It did not frankly affect people like me. Because we were foreigners living there. So.
Yeah.
And foreigners were generally kind of working for us, earning well and also. Life was very comfortable.
Right.
As compared to certainly the Africans.
Yes.
Quite natural. And many Europeans, particularly Europeans, who couldn't immediately migrate out of South Africa when South Africa got independence.
Tried to
go away, but it was not easy. It required a lot of money to go abroad and live abroad, start again, particularly for them. Most of them were confused that apartheid had suddenly gone. And most of them did not seem to mind the Africans.
Mm-hmm.
But I cannot tell what was in their head.
Sure.
But you could see that they knew that there was a difference between them. But it didn't, I mean, I never paid that much attention. It didn't bother me. That did not bother me that much. I was more interested in my own work, which I was doing there.
Mm. Mm. And a lot of your focus in your life has been the work that you've been doing as well, Ravan?
I think that would be for most people, practically.
Sorry, I lost your voice there.
That their work was extremely important. At that time, because that is what you live for, that's what you think of in the morning when you wake up, and that is what you end with.
What happened
during the day, what was good, what was bad.
It becomes such a strong part of who we are and our identity, isn't it? Ravan, thank you so much for your time and for sharing your incredibly different journey from so many of us, and the fact that, you know, you experienced all this at different points of your life and from a very young age, and therefore obviously this uniqueness of being able to, you know, adjust to any kind of a scenario in life. I think that is clearly a strength.
Just coming to that, I never found it difficult.
Yes, I hear that. That's amazing.
Okay, yeah. It was all right. Because normally you are with several other people, maybe lots of other people, who are in the same situation as you. So you just saw them and you went along with them. And all.
Just went along with them. Is that how you can say life was?
Sometimes was. But language also, up to a certain age, you pick up quite rapidly.
Right.
That becomes more and more difficult.
Right.
Now I can't really speak much language. French a little bit, but that's nothing much.
But now you don't even need that much, you know. I think when you needed it, it was there. And when you don't need it, hey, why carry the baggage? Absolutely. Thank you so much for your time, Ravan, and for having this chat over Coffee and Soul with me. And all the very best, and thank you so much for sharing your unique perspective and your experiences with all of us.
Since you're asking that, it's coming back to me to somewhat. Otherwise, I'd forgotten about it some time ago.
No, I know. Thank you. Thank you so much. And you have a great day.
Same to you.
Thank you. Thank you, Ravan. Thank you for your time and attention, and for being a part of Soul Brews with Shiva. Until next week, keep the coffee swirling.